Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Met Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
Alright, thank you DJ Q for bringing us back from the break in such style. He's absolutely correct. My name is Jay Flemma. You're listening to Jay's Plays on Golf News Net Radio Network. Jay's Plays is brought to you by Jay's Bees Best, the best, the most flavorful, and the spiciest hot sauce out there. It's on every table in the Deep South, and it should be on yours. When it says JB's, it's the best. So we've had a great show so far for you, and we're going to come back in the second half even stronger. We're going to have two guests come in for segment four, but right now for segment three, we're just going to bring in Chris Schiavone. He is the owner and operator of Forest Gate Country Club and Shaka Maxon Golf Club in New Jersey, and he also hosts his own radio show on Sirius XM. Chris, great to have you on the show.
Jay, great to be on your program.
So tell all of our listeners when and how they can listen to the Chris Schiavone show.
Well, it's not on Sirius XM. It's on 920 The Jersey, which is a station out of Princeton, New Jersey, on Sundays at 8 a.m.
Well, there you go, everybody. It's one of the best shows out there, so we're glad to have you on. Tell us about all of the great things that are happening both at Forest Gate and at Shaka Maxon this fall and heading on into the winter.
Well, courses are in great shape, particularly Forest Gate Country Club. And as you know well, Jay, because you've been very kind in your favorable commentary about the club, it's a great historic golf course. It's in that Metropolitan Top 50 when they do those ratings periodically. You've probably seen the Metropolitan Golf Association Top 50 ranking. And we're talking about some of the best clubs, of course, in the world in that golf area, from the Shinnecocks and the Baltusrols and the Westchesters and the Wingfoots and so on. And we're in that group in the Top 50 at Forest Gate Country Club. And as a matter of fact, if you take out the public courses on the list, Bethpage Black, for example, which is state-owned, and I think there's one other public, all the rest are private courses. The most affordable course on the entire list of the top 50 to be a member is Forest Gate Country Club, and we're awfully proud of that because it's the most affordable way to play one of the best golf courses in the area. So we've got a great course. We've got a great superintendent and staff doing a wonderful job there, and one of the things that's also great about Forest Gate this time of year, as we roll into the colder months, unlike a lot of clubs that go their temporary greens day, we stay with our full greens, and so you can play on those mild winter days, get out and play real greens on a great golf course over the course of the winter if the weather permits.
Yes, I've played in both February and in early April, and the conditions were outstanding. You know, you really do a wonderful job there. The course drains beautifully, the turf's always healthy, and the conditioning in terms of being able to make it both playable and challenging, okay, those greens stay fast all year long, everybody. But there was even bigger news when it came to the rankings. Word has come out amongst the intelligentsia, the confidential guide to golf courses, the connoisseur's guide to where to play in the United States, visited Forest Gate this year and gave a ranking of 7. And everyone from Cape May all the way up to Bayonne jumped up and cheered for Forest Gate because a 7 is a course of national significance where there are no weak holes and everything is important for you to see if you're going to study golf course architecture. So, you know, congratulations on that. It seems as though everyone, you know, that it likes the golf course, the smarter golfers, the ardent golfers, and all of those that are just getting into the game, you know, you cross-pollinate very well. Why do you think that is? Why does everyone fall in love with Forest Gate?
Well, first of all, I look at Forest Gate as a course that's not like many other courses that I've ever played. And, you know, Charles Banks, the architect, who is in the Seth Rayner tradition, worked with Seth Rayner, worked with C.B. McDonald. But it's almost as if he took some of those design characteristics and just took them to the next level when you play a course like Forsgate Country Club. The bunkering, the greens complexes, there's so much going on with the greens, but not in a way that makes them unfair or makes them set up so there aren't a lot of pin placements. They're big greens, and they've always got something interesting, whether it's a bowl or a tier or a big elephant burial ground. There's always something going on in the greens, but there's still a lot of pinnable areas because a lot of them are 8 and 10,000 square feet. We've got an 18,000 square foot green, as you know, the 17th hole, the Biarritz hole.
The mighty 17th, the Biarritz, yes.
Which plays can play as long as about 270 yards if you go to the back tee and the back portion of the green. The green itself is almost 100 yards long from back to the front. You know,
it's 99 to be exact, yes. It is almost 100.
The number's down. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that Confidential Guide to Golf, and thank you for doing that. And I remember when I first got that book years ago and was reading about courses and seeing numbers, and I said, well, seven, you know, I was thinking just the other day, my kids are in college. If they get 7 out of 10 on a quiz, they don't think they did very well. But knowing the rankings of the Confidential Guide, they are such that a seven's a really good score. They almost get no
a passing grade is a passing grade is 3. So it's very slanted. When you get up to 7, 8, 9, 10, you are parsing amongst the greatest of the great. Okay, it's comparing a Chateaubriand to a double porterhouse, to a New York strip, to a center cut fillet. You know, that is the distinction you make when you get up that high. And the cognoscenti love the course because it is in the bloodline of McDonald Rainer Banks, and it's an excellent example of it, presented even better by a club that has such great camaraderie. So that's how Forsgate fires on all cylinders to the ardent golfer, especially being so affordable as it is. You know, many national members of other clubs should be joining Forsgate, you know, to add to their list. It really wouldn't add much to the budget because it is so reasonable. And yet it is an important golf course that has a great history and pedigree. Plus, it's challenging. It's a very difficult golf course if you play the right set of tees. You know, you do. The one thing I've noticed about Forsgate is the tees are darn accurate. The bogey golfers and the members belong on the blues. The expert golfers belong on the blacks and the tips.
Yeah, and also what's great about it is you can play a really good golfer can play alongside a higher handicap golfer, and both equally enjoy the course and play together well because there aren't forced carries, there aren't a lot of there aren't water hazards. It's more of a links style course, even though there are, you know, a lot of trees that were planted in the 50s and 60s. We're taking them out a little bit at a time to get it back more towards that original links design. But you have a course that whether you're a woman golfer can only hit it 130, 140 yards, you're a senior golfer, or you're, you know, you got the A game and your single-digit handicap, the course has it set up so that everybody can have a great experience at a club like Forsgate. Now, if you get in some of those bunkers, you might have to go outside occasionally.
That part might.
It's so interesting. The aesthetics of it, too. So many of those holes, as you know, you stand in that fairway in that landing area looking at the green and the sloping of the bunkers, and the movement in the greens is visible even from, 200 yards away. And it really
absolutely
for, great views and thinking about the strategy of how I'm going to attack that approach shot.
Well, I brought a buddy of mine there, okay, that had only played small public courses upstate, and this was his first foray into a true gem like this. He played Onondaga, a nice course, very good place up here, but this was his first one playing one of the great steak dinners. And he was absolutely awestruck at, the heights that great golf architecture can reach. and he read the golf course beautifully. You know, a bogey golfer tacking his way around Forestgate for the first time. Yeah, I was in shock. It took me 10 years to play Forestgate as well as he did on the first try. So kudos to him. But he loved it for two reasons. Number one, because it showed him something he'd never seen before. We grew the game at this level with, you know, we reached out to the everyday fan, and the everyday fan responded. If you make it highbrow, they will come. They want to come. And the second is, as you touched on it, there's a right side to miss and a wrong side to miss at Forestgate. And if you do tack around, you can play, you know, and shoot a good, safe number if you're a bogey golfer without having to worry about, you know, looking at a triple-digit figure up there. Yes, if you get in the bunkers, good luck. So you got to be in the right ones, though. But it's just so much fun. That's what everybody that goes to Forestgate, whether you're an expert golfer or a newbie, says how much fun they had. And at the end of the day, that's the greatest success, you know, and that's what makes your memberships just have so much elation, so much energy, and so much of a positive vibe. It's a fun club to be a member at.
I couldn't agree more. You know, Peter Oosterhuis years ago was the pro at Forestgate Country Club, and one of the things that he said was referring to the fact that, you know, you talk about sucker pins. If there's ever a golf course where there's such a contrast between, you know, sucker pin placement and pin placements that are accessible, it's at the Banks course at Forestgate.
Now, let's shift gears for a second. Tell us what's going to happen for the end of the season at Shackamaxie. If it ends at all, actually, because you guys can probably continue through the winter then.
We attempt to do that at Shackamaxie too, and it's a little further north. The conditions are slightly different, but we will have, weather permitting, we will have golf in the winter there too, and the Winter League, I think, plays at both courses during the course of their season in the area. Shackamaxie celebrating its 100th year. We just had a big gala celebration, and actually we had a bunch of people at the club for the centennial gala. And we had, out of the darkness, we had a couple with a caddy dressed in 1916 clothes come out and play the hole out of the darkness as kind of, you know, ghosts of 100 years ago, playing the golf course as part of the, recapturing this, the nostalgia of the founding of the club 100 years ago in what was then Westfield, New Jersey, is now Scotch Plains. And at the time, this is a Tillinghast golf course. At the time, that was very rural. That was a trip to the country for Manhattanites to come out to Westfield, New Jersey. And that course at about 6,600 yards was one of the longest golf courses built in the Northeast at the time that it opened 100 years ago.
Again, a Tillinghast course early on in his career, but again where Stephen Kay did such a masterful job, just as he did at Forestgate, of both restoration and renovation, particularly on the 18th hole and also on your 13th hole.
Yeah, it's great working with Stephen. He's someone who loves architecture. You know, he helped design the architect's course out in the Northwest New Jersey, where they celebrate 18 different architects on 18 different golf holes. So he's very into the history and the style of all these great architects and preserving that and being true to that, as he was with Tillinghast. We had to redesign one hole when we built the new entrance drive into the club at Shackamaxie, and we designed it based on Stephen Kay's research of a reef hole specifically drawn out and talked about times by A.W. Tillinghast himself. So we put this reef hole in right near the entrance that is now the 13th hole, which was modified from the hole that was there before.
Yes, an excellent choice because there are so few reef holes in existence. There's one at Paramount Country Club and a couple more scattered throughout the Eastern Seaboard. A reef hole being a long par 3 with a diagonal angle of attack where you have to carry over a bunker, and then if you hit it in the right place, the ball will ricochet back towards the pin placements, which you have to make sure to hit the correct side of the downslope, otherwise it'll scatter in the other direction. So, Tillinghast was known for some of his own templates as well. His famous Great Hazard used to be one of the more iconic par fives, and that's one of the strengths of Shackamaxon is its par fives.
Yeah, the first hole, which was once the 10th hole, but now we have it as the first hole, and is the longest hole on the course, and the back tee is about a 580-yard par five with carry over the creek on the second shot if you hit a good drive, and unfortunately on your third shot if you don't, and then uphill to the fairly well-guarded green. And then you have an uphill par five fourth hole. The seventh hole used to be a short par five, is now a long par four, as you see so often these days compared to 100 years ago based on how long people are hitting shots off the tee. And then the 12th hole on the back nine, where you have the possibility to go over the water and reach the green in two if you hit a good tee shot there. That's only about 490 to 500 yards, that shorter par five. So a great set of par fives, actually a really good set of par threes as well at Shackamaxon, and a nice mix of par fours from short to long.
Yes, there are on all those aspects. Now, as you bring up the par threes, I have to jump back to Fours Gate to give all of my listeners the outstanding news that in the Confidential Guide, and it will also be coming out in the golfclubatlas.com review of Fours Gate, which would probably be posted in 2 to 3 weeks, Lan Morissette said that he believes that the collection of par threes at Fours Gate is as good as the collection of par threes at Mighty Pine Valley.
Well, I don't think it's easy to get a better compliment than that about golf holes at our club than to compare it to Pine Valley Country Club, especially with a couple of those the par threes at Pine Valley. But at Fours Gate, you know, we've got the Beeritz hole that we mentioned. We've got the Punch Bowl, which is the short par 3, 12, where you have about a 10,000 and 9,000 square foot green, which is a punch bowl. And then we have, obviously, the seventh hole, which is the Redan. And then, of course, the third hole with a big elephant burial ground in the middle of the green, which is very, very similar to the 11th hole at Essex County Country Club, which is also a Charles Banks course. Those two holes are surprisingly similar if you stand on the tee of the third at the Banks course or the 11th hole at Essex County.
Well, they're surprisingly similar until you add in the fact that the third at Fours Gate is uphill, all carry, nowhere to land the ball, and 205 yards, much, much longer than an Eden hole is supposed to be. Many pundits agree we believe it to be the hardest Eden hole in existence. And that's not a knock. Normally it can be to say a hole is just hard, but this is not hard for hard's sake. It's a matter of this is where that hole fit, that template fit on the property. This is where Banks put it. These are the features he used. And, you know, I think that Banks knew this was the last one that he was going to build, so he said, I'm going to go all out a little bit. I'm going to throw the kitchen sink in and the dresser and the boudoir and, the cutting board because this is my swan song. And so that's why you get such strong features as a 12-foot by 7-foot swale at 17. That's why you get such a pronounced knoll at the short par 6, par 4, 6 hole, the knoll hole. The reverse Redan, my favorite pin placement, is dead front because there's no way to get that ball close. we laughed about that, Len and I and Joe Andreoli, because that's where you had it for us, was front pin. And I got lucky. I got a good kick and stayed reasonably, I stayed on the green.
You could have a 90-foot putt back to that pin.
Now, also, though, I love the par fives that follow, 8 and 9 back-to-back. It is, we believe, the only time in the history of the bloodline of McDonald, Rainer, and Banks that they did back-to-back par fives. So yet another unique point in Fours Gate's favor, creativity in the routing.
Well, the eighth hole, most people, Fours Gate, talk about the eighth hole as one of the toughest par fives, if not the toughest par five that they've ever played. And obviously it's long, so there is the issue of length, but also you've got that green complex with a very pronounced difference between the upper and lower tier and the, you know, the mall-like bunker on the left front of the green. So it's a daunting task to get on that in regulation, and then when you do, you still don't have an easy two-putt.
It's absolutely breathtaking to stand on that green as though you're a mariner out on the bow of the ship with the ocean raging well below your feet. You know, you're 100 feet in the air when you step over to that ninth tee box. Well, maybe not 100, maybe more like 80. But and you're 20 feet deep below the level of the green if you are in that greenside bunker on the left. And that's a perfect example of be on the right side, because if you're not on the correct side, your bunker shot or your pitch back are impossible. In fact, Chris, you should pass this along to the members. It actually started a bit of a hashtag sensation called hashtag nice lie, which was any time when we were playing at Forsgate, we would take a picture of a guy with an absurd lie deep in a 25-foot bunker, or we're standing on the green and he looks like an ant beneath us and he's trying to pitch back up, and posting them under hashtag nice lie. So it might be fun to get the members to jump in on that as well on Twitter. I'll throw a few more up later today because they were worth a lot of laughs. But so
yeah,
we're going to bring
have the members take photos of and selfies even of them in these interesting locations, because that course certainly lends itself to that kind of imagery.
And the membership lends itself to that much fun, too, okay? Everybody from Wayne and, you know, his Forsgate TV videos. And, by the way, we should send everyone to the website for Forsgate and Shinnecock before we go to, and Shackamaxon before we go to break. But the membership just has so much fun. Everybody's laid back. Everyone's having a good time. And, it's infectious. You know, you walk in the place and you just take a deep breath and you smile. So tell us where everybody can get more information on the clubs.
Yes, the website is Forsgate, that's Forsgatecc for country club, forsgatecc.com. Shackamaxon is shackamaxoncc.com. And websites have a lot of information there. Of course, if they want to find out more about membership, they call the clubs and talk to our membership directors at either club, and they'll be happy to help you out.
All right, everybody, before we go to segment four and bring in Stephen Kay, we're going to very quickly do the Jays Plays NFL picks for this week. Now, everybody, you know how this goes. The pet iguana makes the picks, and his name is Ernesto. Ernesto the prediction iguana. And if you want to complain about Ernesto's results, you may leave a message for him, which he will return between the hours of 2 and 6 a.m. your local time. So, here we go. We're going to start with three picks and then three over-unders for you. We're going to take the Patriots +7 at the Steelers. We're going to take the Raiders +7 at the Jaguars. And we're going to take the Ravens +5 at the Jets. Of those three, Chris, which one do you think is the best pick?
I like the Patriots pick. I don't like to bet against Tom Brady.
Well, I especially don't like to bet against Tom Brady when he's going up against Landry Jones. Oh, Pittsburgh, it's going to be a rough week. It's bad enough listening to, now mind you, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan, a Boston Celtics fan, but it is bad enough having to listen to Patriots fans, okay, with all their bling, 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 ring, ring, ring nonsense and the kissing their fingers and all of that. But I know when we're beat, too. So it would be a major embarrassment and an even bigger upset if Pittsburgh were to pull that off. All right, now we got three over-unders for you. Again, Chris, we'll ask you to pick one which you like the most. We've got Eagles-Vikings over 34. We've got Rams-Giants over 38.5. And we've got Saints-Chiefs over 43. Which of those three floats your boat?
I like the over with the Giants game.
All right, tell us a little why.
Well, because I don't know that much about football, to be honest, but when I am betting on the over. I'd rather bet on that because I like to root for more offense. I rather see more scoring. So when I'm betting over, I'm doing it because I want to see more scoring. It's more exciting.
And you are betting on Eli Manning and Odell Beckham too.
Listen, the Giants are my team. To the extent that I'm a football guy, it's the Giants. New Jersey.
And they're stacked. Of those three, I think the one that might be the best pick might be Vikings-Eagles, because it's only 34. I was surprised how low that number was. The Saints can score. They've scored up to 34 points three of the last four games. The Chiefs' defense starting to come together, but I still think 43 is a bit of a low number. But you know, we'll find out. All right, everybody, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to leave you in the very capable hands of DJ Q, and then we are going to come back with Stephen Kay and Chris Cimone, finish up the Jays Play Show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back in the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jays Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.